Fizz Wade Rathkin. You're listening to Wade's World. It's Friday morning, Central Time in the United States, and your time for the voice of the people. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, where KBF 88.3 is located, or the east side of New Orleans, where WAMF 90.3 is housed, or Greenville, Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay, points east and west, where we would either rebroadcast or live streamed at kabf.org or affiliated mediamovement.org. A podcast will be available to the show on Monday at that website. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world, and today we're talking to Sister Patricia Rogers of the Dominican Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Wade's World, Sister Patricia.
Thank you so much, Wade.
Well, it's my pleasure. So I am lucky enough to be in Milwaukee right now and have been doing some work with the Dominican Center and Amana United. But what in the world is the Dominican Center and what does it do in Milwaukee? Tell us about the, I'm stepping on my questions. What's the Dominican Center?
The Dominican Center is a center that was founded by two sisters just to get to know the women who lived in the area. And from them getting to know them, they found out what they wanted. And they wanted education, they wanted to become homeowners. These things happened. And today, out of that group of people, we now have residents who are very interested in how to rebuild and reclaim their own community.
Exactly. So Amani is what kind of neighborhood?
Amani is 98% African American.
Okay.
Low income neighborhood. It's one of the neighborhoods where the city really did not invest in it after the closure of factories. So we have a lot of folks who are out of work. There's no transportation to work. And so is the song in most major cities.
And often people have said, you know, the incarceration rate in Amani is the highest in the state of Wisconsin. I think some people have even said it's the highest in the country, but I know it is the highest in Wisconsin. Is that right?
It is. Unfortunately, that's one of the badges that Wisconsin carries. And in Amani itself, there are over 100 felons that re-enter into this neighborhood yearly.
And that's out of, I just heard the population is around 8,000 people live
in Amani. That's correct, 8,300.
So that's a pretty high percentage every year.
Yes.
And they're not going anywhere unless they can find a job or whatever. So that's an important program. But the Dominican Center has been active how many years now?
We're going on our 25th year.
And you've been here a number of years.
I've been here since 2011, so not a whole long time, but
well, you know,
a number of years.
Yeah, a number of years. Mm-hmm. And so tell me what kind, I know I've been here at the Dominican Center during the weekdays sometimes. There, is it reading classes? Or so tell us what kind of, there's services that are provided by the Dominican Center as well.
Out of the Dominican Center, there are those two programs that the residents said they wanted. One was literacy and education. So we have people here who some have never gone to school. So those are literacy classes. And then we have the GED classes, how to get your high school equivalence diploma. So that all goes on here during the day, Monday through Thursday, from about 9 o'clock to 11:30. The other program that works out of here is what's called Neighborhood Improvement Program. This is where those first women who got their houses and families, they got their houses through the Dominican Center, to keep those houses up so that they wouldn't lose them, like for, if a roof or something like that
went bad. So it's a rehab program?
It is. It's a rehab program through the city and through community block grant program.
Which are supposed to be dedicated to service low-income
That's correct.
Areas.
That's
sometimes,
correct.
As we know, that's not true. I mean,
that's correct.
Half of the developments in New Orleans were built with CDBG money and amusement parks and stuff, and you say, really? I mean, we didn't have enough neighborhoods.
Yeah, but
at least you're getting some benefit from that money.
Yes, yes. I have to say, of all the things that the city maybe have not done, they have been good about the CDBG money in the neighborhoods where it should be.
Well, thank goodness. But there's more than that. I've been down in the basement, and there's something growing down there.
That's true. We have hydroponics down there, and the thing that we're doing right now is we're trying to expose the residents in Imani, and especially the youth in Imani, to a number of things that they would not be involved in if we didn't do it, or somebody else, if it wasn't purposefully done. So hydroponics is growing food and flowers in water. So there's a system to it, yes.
And there was a whole bunch of packets of lettuce. The last time I was here, there was just little green things growing. But it's not even a month since I was here last time. I saw a couple of big plastic bags full of, looked like lettuce, that somebody was saying came out of the basement.
That's correct. Mostly what we had down there was lettuce. And what we're doing right now is just trying to learn the systems and to see what we can grow and what we can't and how long it takes.
Exactly.
And so the lettuce grows really fast. Within 3 weeks, we have lettuce.
I know, it's amazing, because there was nothing but sprouts when I was here.
That's correct. So we have tomatoes down there now.
I need to go down and take a look. So other things, we're talking to Sister Patricia Rogers about the Dominican Center here in Milwaukee. Does the Dominican Order have a lot of community centers, or is this a rare thing?
No, this is a rare thing. And in fact, it's self-incorporated, so it's not really of
so
the
standalone
organization.
It's independent.
Yes.
Okay, I got you.
Yes.
But it's still supported by the Dominican Order.
That's correct.
And this, where we are, this building has quite an interesting story as well. I know you've given me an entire tour at different times, so let's share that with the listeners as well.
The building that houses the Dominican Center is a rectory, an old rectory, and it's, now I'm blanking on the name of it, St. Leo's. And St. Leo's, there's a church, it was a school, and the rectory all in the same property. It was one of the Catholic schools that was very prominent in this neighborhood. Everybody that you meet in this area, and even outside of this area, they all knew St. Leo's.
Right.
So when St. Leo's boarded up, and the church and the school boarded up, it was a sad time for this side of the city.
We're on the north side of Milwaukee, just if anybody knows Milwaukee. But it also must have been a large operation, because if this was the rectory, this is two very large floors plus a basement.
That's correct.
I bet there must be 25,000 square feet at least in the building. I'm not sure, but I mean, so we're talking about a big footprint that was lost and erased at that point. So luckily, the Dominican Center, how long was it vacant before the Dominican Center sort of opened up here with those two sisters?
It had already been vacant 3 years when they came in 1995.
So not terribly long. They didn't have to do total rehab or anything.
Correct. The rectory, there's nothing been done to this rectory other than...
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot needs to be done, but nothing has been done.
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. But maybe that, when we get to the end, maybe that's something people want to hear about. But another big project here, and that's part of what has drawn me up to give a hand here, is this community organization, Imani United, that really wouldn't exist without the support of Dominican Center, let's be honest about it. So what's that all about?
Well, It really stems out of the First Sisters who came here. They did not come bringing any kind of a program. They just wanted to get to know the neighbors and what they wanted.
Listen to people, as we say.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And years after I came in 2011, it's the same thing I wanted to do. Wanted to know what was it that the people really wanted and wanted to happen. And at that same time, there came a program from the Obama administration that was called Building Neighborhood Capacity.
Okay.
And out of this program, one of the things that was a must was that no programs would be started without the okay and input of residents.
Like the old citizen participation, maximum feasible participation of OEO, right?
That's correct. Uh-huh. That's correct. So that went right along with what we were doing. And in fact, it took us another step further because we did start the education program. And so what we want to do now is, and we've done a lot of focus groups to find out what were the issues that the residents saw and how did they want to solve it. And so through that building neighborhood capacity, the neighbors came up with their own revitalization plan. And so now we're in the process of helping them to implement what they said they wanted to do.
And I've seen that's a multi-page document.
Yes.
That involves housing.
That's right.
Economic development.
Safety, education, and well-being.
Education, mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, it's a big tent.
It is.
You know, education and well-being.
And well-being.
It's not just education, it's well-being. Turns out you open that door, there's no coming back.
That's correct. That's correct. Well, even talking about housing, because, you know, where you live determines your education, determines your health, and also determines if you get a job or not. It determines, you know, the health of the family. So I think they're right on target.
Absolutely. And it's sort of just in its own way that during the Obama administration that Imani and Dominican Center would have gotten that grant. When I was reading the demographics of mm-hmm. Imani, mm-hmm. during the 2008 election when Obama was elected, 97.5% of the eligible voters voted in that election, mm-hmm. and it went all the way for
That's
Obama.
Correct.
So if anybody ever should have gotten money from the Obama administration, let me tell you, raise your hand,
that's
Imani.
Correct.
You should have gotten even more than whatever that was. Because,
yep,
you know,
yep.
The rap is always, poor people don't vote, and low yep. income, you know, the senior citizens of suburbs, elderly whites, those are the ones who know. And they don't vote 97.5%. Mm-hmm. But our theory has always been in organizing, if it's something people care about,
that's
then
correct.
We'll vote. And
mm-hmm.
97.5 of the eligible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was, it's still an amazing statistic.
It is.
You know, we almost ought to have a plaque somewhere because I don't know if we'll ever get back there, but that was, that sort of makes Imani stand out. So the Imani United then has been part of the fruits of that process.
That's correct.
And trying to, and part of what Sister Rogers and I have been doing is working with the leadership and staff to sort of planning and what an outreach program would look like, what mm-hmm. campaigns. But you've been involved in a campaign that sort of I stumbled on in an early time when I was up visiting with you. It turned out when I started talking about Arkansas on the radio station. Where are you originally from, Sister Patricia?
Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Fort Smith, Arkansas. Now, everybody in Arkansas knows that's right on the border with Oklahoma. And you have a story to tell about Fort Smith.
No, not a big one.
I thought a big one because she said, look, you might want to, you know, I was telling about my experience being in the first class public school to be integrated in New Orleans. And you had a story almost identical, but a year before. I mean, mm-hmm. what year mm-hmm. was that for you?
1966.
Okay.
Yeah. My senior year in high school, the Fort Smith schools were integrated. And it started with Northside High School. So there was one black high school, one white high school. Lincoln High School was the black high school. Northside was the white high school. Anyway, yes.
That
was
you look
part
at,
of that first class.
But when I looked at the lawsuit, what name was on the lawsuit?
Corrine Rogers.
Corrine Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And who was that?
That's my mother, yeah.
And you told me some interesting stories about how... Mm. And this was true of all the desegregation suits in the
mm-hmm,
South.
Mm-hmm.
The NAACP and others did quite a recruiting job on your mother, Corrine Rogers.
That's correct.
But I don't think people have any appreciation for that. So I know this is just, you know,
yeah.
sort of mundane for you,
yeah,
and that was just
yeah,
another
yeah.
day at the ballpark. But
that's true.
Tell what that was like, because you were actually pretty strenuously interviewed, or your parents were, I bet.
Yes. At that time, there could be nothing to blemish your record. to be a part of any of these integration efforts. And so my mother was strenuously vetted for that, even to the point of them looking at driving records and that kind of thing.
Yeah, a parking ticket might have been a problem.
That's
yeah,
right.
This is like, who among us doesn't have a parking ticket?
Well, they
Maureen Rogers, that's
who. That's right. They said, we can't find anything on you, not even a parking ticket. And she said, that's because I do not drive.
Well, she had a perfect answer then, no wonder.
Yeah, but more than that, at that time, you also had to have children who did not have any kind of a record at that time. So we qualified. She qualified and her family qualified. So.
And this would have been your senior year in high school?
Yes, the lawsuit started before that with my sister, who's 2 years older than I am. So, yeah, it started maybe in 64, and she had graduated by the time it really came to court.
Gotcha, because all those things were delayed.
That's correct.
You know, that was part of the process.
That's correct, yeah.
But then the court suit was successful.
The court suit was successful, and that's what happened. The first semester of my senior year had passed. So it was the second semester that the lawsuit really came, it was won, and we could integrate. So
that would have been January 66?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Gotcha. But that must have been quite, I mean, obviously you'd been going to high school.
Oh yeah.
All those years,
yep.
Friends,
yep.
You know, studies.
Yep.
That was kind of uprooting for you to all of a sudden plop over there your last semester to graduate with a bunch of strangers who didn't necessarily have their arms welcoming wide open for you, did they?
That's correct. It was nothing like the Little Rock Nine, so that kind of trauma didn't happen. But fortunately, there was one other senior, because anybody could volunteer to go at this point. And so one other senior went, which was a female. And then we had six juniors that decided that they would go over as well. So there was some
community.
There was some camaraderie there. I think the biggest thing that for us was that they had no expectations for us as far as what we would be capable to do. So anything that we did surprised them. You know, the fact that I could do public speaking surprised them. I have been, you know, because of growing up in a family where you had to do, speeches at Mother's Day and for Easter, you know.
Well, and I think you told me you didn't come from a small family, so if you didn't speak up, God knows, they might have, you know, left you behind when they drove away.
True, and of nine kids being the fifth, I was the quietest.
That's hard to believe today, isn't it?
I was, yes.
You had to learn to speak up, I bet. And you had a number of sisters, I think.
Yeah, there were six girls and three boys. Correct.
And yeah. I know you told me you still go back to Fort Smith from time to time. A lot of your sisters still living there?
Twice a year I go back, once during Christmas and then during the summer I go back. So I have four sisters in Fort Smith. And then I have, two of the brothers are out of Fort Smith.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So how did people greet you and the other students coming in? So it wasn't as bad as Little Rock, which means that was 10 years earlier,
correct.
Almost, 57 or so. I mean, that was greeted by National Guard.
That's
so
correct. Yeah.
Were students open to the fact you were coming in, or was it a more difficult experience?
It was a little standoffish when we came in. I think the frightening part was that first week, and everybody was trying to find out, well, which one is Patricia Rogers, you know? So we would always point to each other. You know, Mary Davis would say, you know, she is, and I would say she is.
Well, that's a good defense mechanism. Yeah, that's creative.
I think the hardest part was taking the city bus home. And this was the real telltale sign of whether we were wanted or not. By the time we would get out of school and get on the bus, all the front seats would be taken. So the only thing would be left would be the back seats. And sometimes people would have their feet in the aisle so that you couldn't get by or something of this sort. But other than that, and then we stopped taking the bus. It wasn't that far to walk home, maybe a mile, so wasn't that bad.
Well, these are experiences you don't forget.
You don't forget them.
And how has that helped you in this process of building the Dominican Center and Amani? And it has to have been important.
You know, and I didn't realize.
You learned to stand up.
You learned to stand up, number one, which is true. But I think the second thing that you learn is how African American children do not get the same benefits and experiences.
Exactly.
And so that's why we've worked very hard in this community to make sure that the children in this community do have some of those experiences. And not only the children, but the children and the parents together, which is crucial, very, very crucial. And then the other piece of it is, if you don't know the story, you think that you're the issue. And so that's the other piece that I've been working very hard to make sure that people understand how we got urban communities and how we got reservations. So,
and that it's not their fault.
It's not their fault, yeah.
And that's a very important, I almost don't have a question to follow that, because mm-hmm. that's such a profound thing that people need to understand. Mm-hmm. And you and I were talking here earlier today about when you don't get that, there's a sort of a negativity that mm-hmm. about what you expect might be possible. Or the,
correct.
You know, when I'm training people to hit the doors, one of the things I always tell people is, the truth is, as afraid as you might be going up to a stranger's house, the people on the other side of the door mm-hmm. are more afraid of you knocking the door than you are of them opening the door.
Correct.
And a lot of people, that's a surprise to them. Mm-hmm. And they're not thinking that. But of course, we're sort of so acculturated to mm-hmm. keeping our own lane, keeping
correct.
Our mouth shut, that it has, nothing is possible. So that's something that learning at 17 years old or so, that's a life lesson you stay with.
Correct. And even to that point, when I first got here, one of the older people said to the residents in one of our Saturday meetings, because they were asking, why isn't this done? Why isn't that done? And he said, this area is the area of least resistance.
Well, that's also an interesting comment, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? We have
mm-hmm.
to change that, don't
yep.
we?
Yep.
We're
tough. Well, we've started. So
we have.
Yeah.
We're on our way.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
I'm up here every month with you now. I'm talking to Sister Patricia Rogers. We're talking about Milwaukee and the Dominican Center and Amanina, but we've also just been talking about Fort Smith, Arkansas, where she still has family and visits regularly. But these are profound times we're working into.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I know you've been fortunate to grow the Dominican Center over mm-hmm. the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And that's not true for a lot of social action, social service organizations, is it?
Mm-hmm. That's true. And one of the things that you've already talked about, we had to figure out how to get people to understand that they can make a difference. And so we had to do little wins so that they could see that happening. But and this is the first year.
Through community organizing as well. That's exactly
correct.
Right.
That's correct. So this is the first year that we really had a full board of resident leaders. And so I think we've really got our foot in now so that they're able now to see for themselves, and that's why you're here.
Yes,
to help train.
It's an exciting process. I know we've been sharing some of the ups and downs, but you know, we're definitely going three steps forward for every one step back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the leadership that's been elected is ready to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
They're sacrificing their time as always, and
yeah.
You know, this is a nice place to work. There's, you know, snacks and, you know, fruit and whatever. I was kidding about, you know, rolling with acorn. You're lucky to get a cookie at Christmas. Here, you know, sister makes sure people are looking after you. But it's a good group of leaders
mm-hmm.
who really, you know, you have to really hope that they succeed, because
correct.
People are very committed to each other. They're struggling to be able to pick up the job. It's a very encouraging thing. And what people don't realize, I mean, we've spent a lot of time, it turns out the Democratic National Convention now is coming next year. Everybody, Milwaukee is going to be front
that's
page
right.
news
that's
for
right.
quite a long time, and a little bit more than a year.
It seems the political campaign starts earlier and earlier all the time, but I was talking to some people today who said, yeah, people just don't realize what potential Milwaukee mm-hmm. has in terms of building grassroots organization. There's a big opportunity, and mm-hmm. I think Imani is doing the work now. I always say, if I'm not smart enough, at least make me lucky. This may be, I'm not going to say all credit to Sister Patricia or me or anybody else, but if you keep working every day, sometimes you do get lucky.
You get lucky.
Yeah, I wouldn't throw money in a horse track thinking that you'd win, but in this work, every once in a while you catch a break. And how lucky it was to be doing this training program and all of a sudden get the announcement mm-hmm. that the Democratic National Convention is going to be here, which is such an opportunity for people to raise up Imani, mm-hmm. invite people to come see mm-hmm. what the real Milwaukee is, push for jobs and benefits that are proportionate to the kind of investment they're making. And it'll be great to see the Dominican Center in the middle of that as well. Okay. Sister, I'm not sure how close we are to the time, but I bet we're pretty close. How can people, if people have questions for you or wanted to send a donation mm-hmm. or find out more about anything we've talked about, from your experience integrating Fort Smith to now making a difference in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. is there a website or a way to get a hold of you, or how do we do that?
Sure, we have a website and also a Facebook page.
Well,
and
everybody has a Facebook page, don't we? We don't put our faces on, hopefully,
So all you got to do is Google Dominican Center for Women, or either go to DominicanCenterForWomen.org.
Okay, mm-hmm. and so that's the website, Dominican mm-hmm. Center for Women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the Facebook is the same?
Same. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you keep it up to date so people would know about these programs
yes,
and
we do.
Everything else. So what's happening next for the Dominican Center? What's the plan for the rest of the year? Or is there a multi-year plan? What are you trying to do? I know one of the things you talked to me about was more self-sufficiency for the neighborhood organization. So I know that's part
correct.
Of what's on my list, but
that's
what's
correct.
On the center's
that's
list?
That's correct. Well, the first thing that's coming up, May 5th, is going to be our big annual fundraiser.
Oh, so, there you go.
So that's
happening. A month from today.
That's
almost,
a month from today. Yeah. The next piece that's coming up, we really have developed now the housing and economic development piece of the revitalization. So we have one model block that we will be doing rehabbing and landscaping on that block. So really looking at how can we, through city money, all kinds of funds, do something for decent, affordable housing.
And sort of create a model in one block, is
that's
what you're looking at?
We gotcha. Are, yes.
I've heard in the grapevine when I've been visiting, there's more and more talk about what used to be a building, but now it's a parking lot next to your office.
Yes.
There's discussion about developing that in some way, which would be huge. That'd be right here in the middle of Imani.
Well, we've said to the Archdiocese, at least I have made comment with the Archdiocese, that when they left this community, they should compare what this community now looks like without them to those communities where they stayed, where the church and the...
Ouch!
Yeah, and the school stayed. Very different. And so now the Archdiocese has taken on what they call urban ministries.
Okay.
And they plan to build a community center next door to us.
And might that be in the next couple of years, we're hoping?
Next couple of years, yes.
Wouldn't that be a huge shot in the arm here?
Yes.
Whatever was there.
That's right.
I'm sure it's great to have a parking lot, but I think, for the cars I see in there, there's a lot of room in that side.
That's correct.
It's half a block almost, or a quarter of a
block.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so
yes.
They could do a huge operation there.
Yeah.
Okay, we've been talking to Sister Patricia Rogers. This is, her website is DominicanCenterForWomen.org. Mm-hmm. Same for the Facebook. I've been on both of them. They work. If you have some questions, you can get a hold of her there. Make a donation. This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, when we'll have another guest, this is Wade Rathke from Wade's World. Thank you.
This program is produced by WAMF 90.3 FM in New Orleans, Louisiana, and distributed by Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, a grassroots effort to produce public radio news and information serving the needs of low and moderate income working Americans by providing a platform for voices not commonly heard in mainstream media. For more information, please visit our website at affiliatedmediamovement.org.